think about checking it out. And now, more importantly, I have a man who needs no introduction but deserves a great one. That is George Lair, a brother in Christ to all, friend, mentor, teacher extraordinaire. So let's pray for George as he comes up to lead us through chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to gather here to worship you in spirit and truth, to be free to listen to your word, Lord, and the great words that George is going to bring before us. Lord, I know this man is a great man of God, has prepared his heart. You have prepared his heart and his mind. So please just give him your word, speak in and through him. Allow us to hear them and to be doers of the word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers, where's Jack Law? He's in Texas. Geez, I was going to, you know, several months ago, I was assigned a different chapter, and by the providence of God, Jack changed that, and he gave me chapter 4. So when I started looking at chapter 4, the Lord spoke directly to me, because what's the theme of chapter 4? The theme is loneliness. Many of you may know I lost my wife this past July, about 8 months ago. And I can share with you that loneliness, do I miss my wife? Sure. But is loneliness a part of my life? No. I have a song that, you know, we don't play very many songs when we get up here to talk, but I've got a song that I want us to listen to. Do I have to push this or do you guys do it up there? Listen to the words.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All of them. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? I look at all the lonely people. I look at all the lonely people. Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong?
Think about that song, Eleanor Rigby. She talks about her wedding. It never happened. It was just a dream. She dies in the church. She has no friends when the service is held for her. Father Mackenzie prepares this sermon that he's going to give at her funeral site when she's buried. Nobody shows up. Therefore, his sermon's given to no one. And that's the statement of nobody's saved. Talk about loneliness. There's a woman who went through life, and it was a lonely life. The first verse of Ecclesiastes 4 talks about there's no comfort. Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed. And they had no comforter. power was on the side of their oppressors, and they had no comforter. Then we move on down to around verse 8, and it talks about no companion. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother, yet there was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Too meaningless. This too is meaningless, a miserable business. The third one deals with there are far too many people in the world. If I can get these papers apart. Far too many people in the world. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning. The youth may have come from prison to the kingship, or he may have been born in poverty within his kingdom. I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth, the king's successor. There was no end to all the people who were before them. But those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes 4 talks about three bad ends. And the three are envy, poverty, and anxiety. The solution to the first two is contentment. For those who live under the sun, there is no solution to anxiety. So where do we find the answer to anxiety? In the New Testament, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, I don't think I'm putting these up there for you. Yeah, I am. Thank you from up there. Thank you. Verses 6 and 7 say, give us the answer for anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I found an interesting thing here. I didn't just go to chapter 4, I looked through the whole book. And under the sun is mentioned 29 times. And under heaven is only mentioned 3 times. It's almost a 10-to-1 ratio. And then I thought about what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, where he says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There are two major themes in this chapter. Work and wisdom comprise the two main themes of this book. Solomon in chapter 1 was saying, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. This apologetic work is an attempt to recommend faith in God by way of answering negative arguments. He is saying that the secular view of life is meaningless without faith in God. Jesus also addressed this topic of wealth and achievements in life in Mark 8:36. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? In summary, this book is God's wise counsel to those who know his ways, but have found them perplexing and troubling. I have another song that we're going to play, but before we play that song, I want to share a couple of personal things in my life that, and I've said this to you guys before and other times I've been up here, If you aren't looking for the hand of God at work in your life, you'll never see it. So when Leslie passed, I was looking for the hand of God at work in my life. And boy, did he show it. First thing that happened was about 2 weeks after Leslie's celebration of life, my oldest son calls me on the phone one day, Adam. Adam's not married, but he says to me, he says, Dad, he had emotion in the phone call. He said, Dad, I got to come home. There's nobody home to take care of you. I said, Adam, your younger brother, Ethan, he only lives an hour away from here. Not an issue. He said, no, Dad. He said, I saw how you took care of Mom. I can't live out here in St. Louis knowing you're by yourself. So Adam moved home. Then I took a look at some of my friends. Oh, my goodness. Talk about fellowship. That's what we do right here. But I get to do fellowship more often than you would believe. I'm not going to mention brothers' names because I don't want to offend anybody by omitting somebody. But many of you have invited me over to your house for dinner. I have two brothers. A week doesn't go by that I don't get a text video where they're praying for me. By the way, they both have the same name. I also look at some of the other things that are going on. I have one individual. He's my brother from another mother. Comes over to my house maybe 6-7 times a week, just checking on me, making sure everything's okay. God has blessed me in so many ways that I can't name them all. I mean, every time I look, I see friendship, the fellowship of love of my brothers. But you know, when you have all these problems in your life, this book, as I said, is the summary of God's wise counsel to those who know his ways, but have found them perplexing and troubling. So what's the answer to all of this? What do you do in life? Take it away. Play that last song. I'm sorry, I'm messing you up. I won't touch the remote. Listen to the words. We can sing it. We all know it.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. As we weak and heavy laden, need a lot of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a soul is there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be breathing, oh, to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship our sweet portion there.
I don't know if you picked up on it, but in that song, that very last chapter says there's no need for prayer. And the reason is we'll be home with Christ. We won't need to pray. We'll be with him face to face. I guess we're getting an encore. I just want to thank you for listening to this. And I wish Jack was here because I wanted to thank him personally for giving me this chapter. Let me close this out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in this chapter you taught many things to me, but the one thing that was loud and clear was, I have a friend in Jesus. And I pray to him and I pray to you, Father. And you provide the comfort that passes all understanding. I pray that, I know there have to be men in this room today, Father, that some part of their life there's loneliness. I just ask, Father, that they would turn to you and place that burden on you because that's what you want them to do. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.